John the Baptist, a faith worth losing your head over. Thank you. Thank you, Melinda. Thank you. Now, someone in here may not quite get it. Now, let me also say this. I went to Josh and I said, hey, Josh, I said, are you sure no one's going to be offended? And he goes, well, one, it's true. And two, you know, it's just kind of tongue in cheek. And I said, well, our folks expect that out of me. But we are going to look at the life and the ministry of John the Baptist. To me, one of the great characters of Scripture, and today's music was very fitting for this introduction. As we proclaim who God is, both to us as believers and to a world groping in the darkness, that's what John the Baptizer did. And so today, I'm going to give you a brief introduction. And some of you are saying, how brief is that going to be? Well, we shall see. So we want to begin at a time called the intertestamental period. You like that, Josh? You like that? Now, you say, what is that? That's a good question. What if I told you there was a time in human history where God's voice went silent? Has anyone ever given you the cold shoulder? Huh? Has anyone ever done that? Have you ever done that? Don't do that. It's not nice. But the intertestamental period is an important time between the time of the Old Testament and the time of the New Testament. And these events bump up against that. And I was so diligent, I gave you a roadmap. And you can find this in your YouVersion notes. But we see the creation, the fall, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And then we see the Exodus and the Promised Land. This is where God delivered the children out of the bondage of Israel. We have the Mount Sinai and the giving of the law and Joshua. We have the generation in the wilderness. Then we have the kings and the temples, the king and the temple. This is where the Hebrew people said, hey, everybody else has an earthly king. Let us have one. And God says, you don't need one. I'm your king. Oh, God, give us an earthly king. And he did. And guess what? For the most part. And so we see that God gives them a king, and the northern Israel goes their own way, and southern Israel goes their own way. And the scripture says what? A house divided against itself shall not stand. It's true. So our friends, the Hebrews, they divided ways. And fortunately, it wasn't over the color of a carpet, but they divided ways nonetheless. And both of them, well, it was bad times. And so the time of the intertestamental period is the 400 years right there. It's an important 400 years. And let's look at why it's important. It lasted from the prophet Malachi's time of approximately 400 BC to the preaching of John the Baptist in 25 AD. Because there was no prophetic word from God during this period, some refer to this also as the silent years. Now imagine not hearing from God's prophets for 400 years. Now, if we all lived to be 100, that'd be four generations, which back then, but you know, today, not so much. And we could have a great over coffee discussion of why did God fall silent? There might be those that are foolish enough to say, well, maybe God went off and did something else. Some would say that God was overwhelmed by it all. Why did God fall silent? He hasn't told me, but he did. Now, I'm just enough a jerk to say this. Maybe it took them 400 years to realize. Have you ever realized you're getting the cold shoulder and you're like, oh, now I see. I also wanted to give us a clear and functional definition of what prophecy is. A prophecy is a message that is claimed by a prophet to have been communicated to them by God. Such messages typically involve inspiration, interpretation, or revelation, new information, of divine will concerning the prophet's social world or the events to come. I would like to give this disclaimer, warning. A prophecy will never, ever, ever contradict God's stated word or known precepts. Amen? If someone offers up to you a prophecy and it doesn't check out against God's word, and why not? I'm in the mood for a little controversy. Kyle, what do you think? Little? No one knows when Jesus is coming. What? Don't buy the books. Don't pay for the seminars. The scripture says no man knows. Well, what does that mean? Do not accept revelation that is directly in opposition to God's stated word. No man knows. Now, I can save you the expense of those things. If you want to give me $100 for what I'm about to tell you, okay. Prophecy in the book of the Revelation boiled down to this is this. Get ready, be ready. Because Jesus is coming. Woo, I could have preached a long time on that. The political, religious, and social atmosphere of Israel had changed significantly in these 400 years. Much of what happened was predicted by the prophet Daniel. Have you ever been wrong? And then it makes it twice as bad when someone tells you that you were going to be wrong? And you thought, I'll prove them wrong, only to find out they're right. Oh, it hurts so much. Now, ladies, I've never lived a day as a lady. But I can tell you, as we guys, we think we know a lot. And our ego gets doubly bruised when we're forewarned, yet we do it anyway. The events of the intertestamental period set a stage for Christ and had a profound impact on the Jewish people. Both Jews and pagans from other nations were becoming dissatisfied with their religion. You remember last week when we were talking about Saul, and we talked about that he was confident in his religion, and that we all are until we aren't? The intertestamental period, we see this evolution in culture and society and religion where there's this growing discontent, a time ripe for God's divine redeemer. Can I ask you this? Are we in a season where people are a little maybe dissatisfied with religion? I think we are. The 400 years of silence was broken by the greatest story ever told, the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're going to break your silence, this is a great way to do it. Now, most of you are not old enough to remember, but when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. God was silent for 400 years, and when he spoke again, he spoke the gospel of Jesus Christ, the greatest story ever told. The New Testament tells the story of how hope had come, not only for the Jews, but for the entire world. Amen? Y'all don't sound very excited about that. Do you realize if it had only come for the Jews, you're out of luck? Thank God. God's heart and God's redemptive plan was first to his chosen people, but also included a sinner like me and like you. We are Gentiles. If you're not Jewish, you're Gentile. You know, not German Gentile, or you're Gentile, but thank God. Christ's fulfillment of prophecy was anticipated and recognized by many who sought him out. Now, let me back up here just a second. Not everyone sought him out. Not everyone sought him out in the time of John. And tragically, not everyone seeks him today. That being said, everyone deserves the invitation. So today, I don't use that backup button very often. It kind of got good to me. Let's meet John the Baptizer. I love this artwork. This is Greek Orthodox artwork, and I love that. I might get it printed and put in my study. John's adult life was characterized by devotion and surrender to Jesus Christ and his kingdom. We mentioned in Sunday school that you can have faith in Jesus, but you may not have confidence in Jesus. You can have faith in Jesus, but you may not surrender to Jesus. You may have faith in Jesus, but that faith doesn't cause you to be actively involved in his kingdom work. There are pews inside the capital C church today that are being warmed by people like you who the only reason they've come is whatever church can give them. They'll show up, clock in, wait for the preacher to get done and hope it didn't go too long. Guess what? Cowboys don't play till tomorrow night. I got all day. They'll clock out and they'll go home. Never mindful of kingdom work. Let's look first at the prophecy. Let me ask you this. How long did your parents know of your impending birth before you were born? 9 months is the best you could do. Now, I don't know if anyone here has plenty of free time to waste. I used to watch a show. It's called Pregnant and Didn't Know It. Did you watch it too, Melinda? Yeah. Great minds. I don't understand. These ladies conceive and carry unbeknownst to themselves, and then, ta-da! And in the most unusual places. And I think to myself, and again, I'm not man enough to be a woman. If childbirthing was up to me, we would go extinct. Amen. You might fool me once, but you'd never fool me twice. And I look and I go, how can this be? Well, your parents had at most a 9-month window. Maybe a little smaller than that. Could your parents have known the type of person you would become and how you would invest your one and only life? Now, for me, I can't speak for you. In holding my children and subsequently my grandchild, I thought to myself, oh, Lord, what will they be? What will they become? And I'm tearing up now because I'm thinking of all the incredible possibilities intermingled with all the challenges. Because one day they grow up and they realize we don't all live in Disney World. John's coming was foretold over 700 years prior. Woo! Now, wait a minute. That can't be true. There's no way. There's no way a person could prophesy about a person coming in 700 years. Someone wrote this post-production. My friends, we serve a God that is eternal. We serve a God who is omniscient. That means he knows everything at the same time. It is nothing for God to speak 700 years in the future. Now, the choice you have to make is, do I believe it or not? Let's look at what the prophet Isaiah said. A voice calling. You say, what does that mean? You'll learn. Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. Let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Who's going to be this voice clue. John the Baptist. He was a precursor to the modern day evangelist and unashamedly proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, in our modern day, we don't use evangelist as often as we used to, differing reasons, but there is unmistakably a gift of evangelism. The pastor that led me to Christ possesses that gift. I believe that that brother could get a rock to understand its sinfulness and repent of it. It is a gift to be able to proclaim, explain, and compel someone to see Jesus for who he is. And I'm thankful for that. John was that type of person. This passage illustrates God's master plan in action as God selected John, and we're not going to talk about Calvinism today, to be a special ambassador to proclaim his own coming. In days like these, how comforting is it to you to know that God has a plan and a purpose? It's comforting to me, because you know what? At times it seems the whole world's out of control. But for me, God knows me, he has a plan, and he has a purpose. And that's comforting. It really is. Let's see the purpose. Gabriel said this about John, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Man, I want that on my headstone. That would be spectacular. God says this. He would be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born. Now, that's a great trivia question right there. Who is the first person to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine? John was fired up in the womb. Said he just was all about that, especially when in the presence of Jesus. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord, their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to make ready a people. Elijah is one of the greatest prophets of Scripture. And he will display that same passion, power in the New Testament. Free stuff. Let's look very quickly. As a follower of Christ, part of your purpose is the same as John the Baptist. Amen? Someone right over here said amen, and I think everybody else isn't sure. Wait, see, you guys think I'm always trying to set you up. As a follower of Jesus Christ, the same Jesus Christ that John is the herald of, we have similar purposes. You say, Jimmy, I'm not sure I believe you. Show me. To make ready a people for the Lord. Thank you, Janie. Thank you very much. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Who had the power of the Holy Spirit upon them before they were born? John. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. John the Baptist never went to Europe. John the Baptist never came to the North American continent. John the Baptist never came to Greenville, Texas. John the Baptist never went to L3 or wherever it is you call work. But guess who do? You do. Different voices, same message. Amen. Proclaim nothing different than the gospel. John was to prepare them for the first coming of Christ the Savior. And we are to prepare them for the second coming as judge. John prepared them for the first coming. We're called to prepare them for the second coming. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is coming. Oh, yeah. We're going to him one at a time, day by day. But one day, he's coming. And part of our privileged purpose is to help prepare the world for that coming. Not as prophets, but as proclaimers. That's free. It doesn't cost you extra. The parents, God was once again going to do something miraculous in and through unexpected people. Can I say this? If you're a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle who have the influence in the lives of little ones, listen to me. Do not take for granted that influence. godly parents, godly grandparents, godly aunts and uncles, godly friends. What a privilege it is to fingerprint children for the Lord. And here we're going to see that God once again will use unexpectedly people who never ever thought they would be parents. Verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blameless in all the commands and the requirements of the Lord, but had no children because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both advanced in years. Translation, they were senior adults. But you know what? When God's in it, there's nothing impossible. So very quickly, Herod, spoken of here, is an illegitimate king. And I'm not going to drill down on that today, but I'm probably going to get back to him a little later. Secondly, they were both righteous in the sight of God. Does that mean they were sinless? No, it does not. They were sinners just like you're a sinner and like I'm a sinner. But they were righteous. They were set apart. They had intentions of being something unique to the rest of the world. It doesn't make us better. It just makes us different. They walked blamelessly in the commandments and requirements of the Lord. What does that mean? They did their very best to do what God called them to do and how he called them to do it. That's our call. I'll never be sinless. You'll never be sinless. But it doesn't excuse us from striving to be the very best that God's called us to be. Amen? Janie, you're leading the pack. I'm going to have to bring you up front and we can coach some people up. In the weeks ahead, we will see miracles. We will see faith. We will see confrontation. We will see unlawful imprisonment. And we will witness murder. It's going to be a great walk, and I hope that you'll plan to be here. But before we go, I'd like to ask you a question. How do you see the Lord investing you in his redemptive work, both in the church and to the greater community? Just ask, how is God investing you in his redemptive work? Both here at the little ALF, but also out there in our mission field. How do you see him investing you? If you feel he isn't, what do you believe is holding you back? If you're going, well, I'm just not sure. Or if your response is, I don't think that he might, that he is. If that is where you're at, why? Why wouldn't he? Why isn't he? That's a great question. Third question is this. Would you be willing to ask the Lord to help change it? Now, Jeff knows, Josh knows, ministry is always extremely convenient. So don't worry about that. Do you want to be a part of God's redemptive plan? Do you want to be a part, an active part, in what God is doing right here, right now? In our time in history. John had his time. This is our time. I can say unashamedly, I want to be elbows deep in whatever God will allow me to be a part of. Because what you do for the Lord are the things that are of eternal value. So much of what we do is of temporal value. I want to live forever. I will do that in Jesus in heaven, but also through the eternal partnership that God allows me to have. And I hope that it is your deepest desire. I hope that it is your primary desire that God would see fit to equip and to use you. You say, well, I'm not sure if I'm called. You're already called. That's one of the three calls you need to accept, right? That being said, let's just pray together. Let's just pray together, shall we? Father, I just pray today. Lord, like John, Lord, you'd help us to see you and us in you and us with you. And Father, I ask that beginning with me, Lord, you would help to clarify, Lord, where you want me to go, what you want me to do, how you want me to do it, with whom you want me to do it. Lord, I just want to be in the game. And Father, I pray for your people, my family. And Lord, I ask that you would help them wherever they are in the answering of this question. Lord, help them to have an insatiable desire to know you and to make you known. Lord, help them to see themselves in you. Help them to see themselves with you, unique in the messenger, but not unique in the message. Father, I pray that each and every one of us would passionately pursue that place and those places, Lord, that we can be your ambassador. We can be your hands and feet. Lord, help us to make a world that you would have it to be. Lord, realizing it's not perfect, we're not perfect. Realizing that not everyone will seek the Lord. But also realizing that everyone deserves the invitation. Father, I pray that you would bless your church, both the capital C church, Lord, and the little ALF. Lord, bless us with a passion to know you and to make you known. Father, fulfill your plans and your purposes through your children. Lord, that you might receive the glory for it. Lord, that we might enjoy all that it would afford us. And Lord, that the world might be changed. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I do have homework for you. Your homework this week is to read Luke, the first chapter. You can read it a couple of times. We're not going to touch on everything in that chapter, primarily the focus on John, obviously, but if you read ahead, you'll be prepared.